And now will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this time that we have to come and hear your word read and proclaimed. We ask that you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us today. And Lord, I cannot bring this by myself, so I ask that you hide me behind your cross and speak through me in spite of me. Amen. So have you ever experienced that nervous feeling that comes from seeing the gas gauge in your car be almost level with the big fat red line that stands for empty? You know that once your gauge hits that line, you're only running on fumes and will probably break down if God doesn't miraculously plant a gas station in front of you. Well, I experienced this feeling fairly recently. And I probably should not admit to all of you that this moment took place while I was driving the church van. I was on a mission trip in the mountains this past summer with a few other folks from our church. And myself and another team member had been sent on an errand to buy a ceiling fan. And we had to go to the nearest Lowe's, which was about 30 miles away. We hopped in the van, and a few minutes into our trip, my eyes glanced down at our gas gauge. And I started to get a little nervous. That needle was already much closer to the red line than I was comfortable with. And we were in the middle of nowhere, not a gas station in sight. So we kept trucking along on our journey. And every time we accelerated up a hill, my eyes got a little wider and I started to worry. Every time we went up an incline, that little sliver of red between the needle and the big E got smaller and smaller. I started thinking to myself, what if we don't make it? What if we break down? Who am I supposed to call for help? Not to mention that we didn't have any cell phone service to make a call with in the first place. We were running on empty. And every time another hill would come, I'd become more certain that we were about to find ourselves stranded on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina. In our story today, I'm pretty sure Naomi felt like she was running on an empty tank of gas, running on fumes and doubting that she could make it up the next hill. If you're familiar with the story of Ruth and Naomi, you know that this is a story of deep love and loyalty in the midst of sorrow and loss. After growing up in Bethlehem of Judah, Naomi and her family experienced a great famine. They couldn't survive where they were, and had no choice but to move on in search of food and sustenance. So Naomi's family settled on living in the country of Moab, where they had plenty of food and planned to start a new life. Things looked pretty good for a while, but then Naomi's husband died, and Naomi was left with only her two sons to care for her. As the sons grew older, they both married young Moabite women, one named Orpah, and another named Ruth. Then, 10 years later, both of Naomi's sons died, before they were even able to have children. Naomi found herself alone and empty. In those days, women couldn't support themselves without the help of a man. So not only had Naomi lost her loved ones, but she had lost all that she had. She had no male heirs to support her, no 401k set up, no life insurance to help her get back on her feet. She was alone in a foreign land and knew that her future was not looking bright. Having heard word that things had improved in her homeland of Judah, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law started on a journey to leave Moab for the Promised Land. But as they began their trip, Naomi insisted that Orpah and Ruth stay behind and go back to their families. Though they loved each other deeply, Naomi knew that they didn't have a future in Judah. Naomi was too old to have any more sons for them to marry. And back then, Moabites were not welcome among Israelites. So the possibility of either of them ever having the chance to start a family in Judah was slim to none. At first, both girls tried to protest. But as they considered their options, Orpah made the tough decision to leave and return to her family, with the hopes of starting over. But But Ruth does something different in this story. In verse 16, Ruth says what is now some of the most famous words of Scripture. She said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth loves Naomi deeply. And even though it makes no sense to stay with her, she can't bear the idea of leaving Naomi alone. So Ruth chooses to leave the familiar behind, also that she can stay with her mother-in-law. This first passage in the book of Ruth that we just read involves a lot of having to let go of things. As Ruth and Naomi decide to leave for Judah, they have to let go of their dreams of having a family and growing old in Moab. They have to let go of what they once hoped for and accept that those dreams are gone. Have you ever found yourself in that kind of situation? Having to completely let go of plans that you had for yourself or someone else, all because something terrible happened and knocked those plans off course. I think we can all imagine just how painful it must have been for Ruth and Naomi to let go of all they had once hoped for. Readers and listeners of this story also have to learn to let go of some things. One of the most surprising parts of this story comes from who God uses to teach us the most about God. You may think that Naomi, the one who has been following God the longest, would be the one to set the example for us. But in this moment, Naomi doesn't seem to want to have much of anything to do with God. As they find themselves back in Judah, Naomi tells everyone to change her name to Mara, which means bitter. For she says, "The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." Naomi is bitter and angry and believes that God has turned his back on her. But Ruth, the foreigner, the one that was raised in Moab under a different religion, is the one in this story who teaches us the most about God's unfailing love. Ruth loved Naomi enough to believe it was worth placing her hope in Naomi's God. And Ruth found herself being the one filled with love and faith that God had not left them alone. As Naomi runs out of steam and has no faith left, Ruth is able to find the strength to hope for the both of them. Ruth, a refugee, an outsider to Judah and to the Jewish faith, represents God's love for us in this story. A love that is deep and unwavering, that will not be broken, no matter what kind of experiences the two of them endure. So here we find God using an outsider, someone no one would expect, as a model for perfect and unconditional love. For centuries, Jews and Christians alike have tried to draw lines and set boundaries of who can belong in the family of God and who can't. But God always seems to find a way to break down those lines of love that we try to set for ourselves. Just as the Israelite leaders used to believe that only they could truly know God, God brings in a refugee from a foreign land as the one God uses to set the example for the rest of us. The story of Ruth requires us to let go of who we think can be in the family of God and who can be out, and recognize that anyone and everyone is welcome in God's family. To spice things up even more, we later come to learn that Ruth marries a man named Boaz, an ancestor of King David who was also an ancestor of Jesus. So just when people are trying to limit who they believe can be in God's family, God comes in and puts a Moabite refugee right into Jesus' direct bloodline. Ruth's story and existence knocks over any lines that people have drawn in the past to try and say who could be in God's family and who could be out. God's family is open to everyone. As we learn about love from Ruth, we learn about God's deep love for us, and also about the kind of love we should model for one another. As Christians, we are called to love others just as God loves us. Once Naomi's son died, Ruth and Naomi technically weren't family anymore. Ruth didn't have to stay, but she recognized Naomi as a part of her family, despite not being related by blood. She loved her, and couldn't imagine letting her go in such a time of despair. Ruth chose love over the possibility of a new life in her home country. Her choice to stay by Naomi's side in the midst of bitter anger and loss is what gave Naomi the strength to keep going and to not give up entirely on God's power and provision. As they let go of their dreams of a big family and long life in Moab, Ruth's choice to stay by Naomi's side is what kept Naomi from giving up. Ruth's willingness to place her faith in God and hope for something new allowed both of them to ultimately receive new life and new possibilities. Our mission statement here at Pleasant Grove is to be the body of Christ in the world. And one way we live that out is by being the body of Christ for one another, by choosing to show God's love to each other even when it may be hard. All of us will experience hardships at different times in our lives, and it is part of our calling as Christians to pray and hope for our brothers and sisters, especially when they are going through a time of loss or feeling like God has forgotten them. Ruth's willingness to stay by Naomi's side showed Naomi that God was still with her. God had not forgotten about her. As we read further into the book of Ruth, we see proof that God has not forgotten about them. As Ruth and Naomi start trying to build a life in Judah, Naomi connects with the only relative she has left, a man named Boaz, and Ruth is able to go and work for him in his barley fields. As time passes, one thing leads to another, and Boaz and Ruth end up getting married, giving both Ruth and Naomi a future of provision and family. Had Ruth not chosen to stay with Naomi, there's no telling where either of them would have ended up. And if they had chosen to hold on to their bitterness and loss, they would have never opened themselves up to what God had waiting for them in a new place. Ruth's love and faith gave Naomi the strength to let go of the past and to just keep going. Together, they let go of what was and looked forward to what could be. If you look outside today, you'll notice a chill in the air and leaves on the ground. We all can see that the season of fall is here in full force. And fall is nature's season of letting go. The trees can no longer use the leaves they have, so they let go of them as they slowly die and fall to the ground. The trees let the life they had go, so that new green life can come in the spring. Ruth and Naomi teach us that there is power in letting go of things. That sometimes life doesn't give us what we want or what we expect. But instead of standing still and letting circumstances get the best of us, it's better to let go of what is weighing us down. It is the act of letting go that helps us come back to life and go from being empty to full again. All of us probably have something we need to let go of today. Whether that be a disappointment, an expectation that wasn't met, or a loss that is keeping our tanks empty. And like Ruth and Naomi, we can either stay where we are, or we can choose to move forward and see what else God has waiting for us. God is bigger than we think he is, and God never leaves us alone or forgets about us. God uses the unexpected, an insignificant Moabite refugee, to teach us what true love and devotion looks like. Just imagine what God can do with us if we let go of what is holding us back and let God use us as a sign of his unconditional love. There may be Naomis in our lives that need us to be their Ruth, or we may need a Ruth ourselves. As we embrace our callings to be the body of Christ to one another by being a living example of God's love for us, God just might use us to be a Ruth for someone in need. Thanks be to God that God's love for us never runs empty. May God bring a Ruth to you when you need a friend, and may we all have the courage to be Ruth to others. Amen.